I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you like trains, if you like vintage trains, then this is the podcast for you.
Exactly. It's the Morton's Heritage Railway Podcast, Edition 3. Fantastic. And we're delighted to actually welcome once again to the wonderful world of Morton's Heritage Railway Podcast the fabulous Geoff Thompson, who's our facts and figures guru in the studio when it comes to matters to do with steam enthusiasts and train. How are you, Geoff?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. And online, doing wonderful things, as he did, of course, for Edition 2, of course, author and general wonderful editor Robin Jones. How are you, Robin?
Very well, thank you.
So have you recovered from the excitement of what we're going to be focusing on in this second edition, or sorry, third edition, effectively, of the podcast? All of that really exciting stuff we did when you were live for the unveiling of the great trains and so on.
Well, it's getting even more exciting. It's hotting up. At the moment, the great goodbye, which is the display of the six surviving LNER A4 Pacifics at the Locomotion Museum in Shildon, is midway through its nine-day stint. And it's attracting record crowds. It has taken the northeast of England by storm. Mm.
Geoff, as a northeasterner, you must feel very proud about this, because you've got some amazing facts and figures about the cost that it actually took to get this whole exhibition, this once-in-a-lifetime exhibition of trains coming across on this basis.
Not the cost, Alex, okay. But I gather that because of the huge numbers, and they were absolutely huge numbers that came to visit... The event from the 3rd to the 17th was 138,481 visitors, and the 22nd of November to the October the 22nd to November the 11th, 108,419. And although admission was free, the increase in sales in the shops and refreshments and so on and so forth went a heck of a long way to paying for the repatriation.
And there were people who actually claimed, why were we wasting all this money as well? Ridiculous. You know, it's great stuff.
Well, anything you do is have to get criticism.
Well, I think there was one lone voice about a year ago in another publication. But bear in mind that most of the cost of the repatriation was sponsored by different bodies. You know, the movement of the locos, the shipping costs, the dockyard costs. The net cost to the museum was just a tad under £250,000. But because of the sales at the museums, they've asked people for a donation of £3 when they went into the museum at York, which people were happy to pay. The Science Museum Group itself has turned in £500,000 profit. Now, I don't think really you can quibble with figures like that. You can't say that's a waste of taxpayers' money.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
The general public is £500,000 to the better because of it.
Even if I'd only broken even, to think the opportunity was there to reunite six, you know, iconic locomotives, because, of course, this all happened because of the Mallard breaking the speed record for steam, still standing on the 3rd of July, 75 years earlier. And the chance of reuniting all six and seeing them all together was, if it was at all possible, it just had to be done, didn't it?
Well, nobody believed it was possible. The one guy with the vision was Steve Davis, the former director of the National Railway Museum, who will be giving a speech at the events dinner on Friday night, in which I'll be attending. But he came up with the idea of borrowing the two from the North American museums, and everyone said, don't be silly, they'll never let those go. We've been trying to buy them for 50 years and they won't sell. But he struck a deal where we borrowed them back for up to 2 years, restored them cosmetically, had the three great gathering exhibitions, and then sent them back, and the Americans and the Canadians are very happy with it.
Well, you know, if Lincoln can lend the Americans a Magna Carta, I'm sure they can lend us a couple of streaks.
Well, yeah, especially as we had something to do with the design of them, yes. Yeah.
Coming up in this podcast, we'll get a reprise of an interview which, as you defined him yourself, Robin, is the Elvis Presley of the fabulous world of Heritage Railway. Yes, no less prestigious than Sir Nigel Gresley, who was gracious enough to give us a few moments at the official unveiling we spoke about. We'll be speaking to Brian Sharp as well. And, of course, we've got some special news from the fabulous Joe about a wonderful Heritage Railway app that's actually available for a remarkable sort of price of 69 English pence. Amazing, really. Can be downloaded in all sorts of ways, but that's to come. If you're happy to stay with us, Robin, we're going to actually go with the Nigel Gresley piece now, if that's okay, and then come back to you and have some more sort of reflections on how things are developing, and also some of the upcoming things, which, if you're listening to this ahead of obviously the 20th of February, etc., and you've downloaded the system from that point of view, you might sort of find of some use and interest. And if you're not, and you're listening to it as part of a podcast package, you want to collect all things together, well, it's a wonderful bit of momentary heritage. So, are you happy to stay with us, Robin?
Yes, I certainly will be. Yeah.
Excellent. And Sir Nigel Gresley, as we rightly said, the wonderful. In fact, introduce this particular piece, Robin. I mean, Sir Nigel Gresley, for people who sort of are not familiar with his heritage and his obviously his grandfather, why is he such an important figure in the notion of locomotive engines and so on?
Well, basically, he honed the steam locomotive concept to perfection. The London North Eastern Railway, which had appointed him as chief mechanical engineer, was in competition with its rival, the London Midland and Scottish Railway, on the route from London to Scotland, to see who could bring the time down. And Nigel Gresley came up with a string of Pacific locomotives, that is, steam engines with a 4-6-2 wheel arrangement. The most famous of all probably is the A3 Pacific Flying Scotsman, which, as we know, is under repair. But he followed that up with the Art Deco streamlined A4 Pacifics, of which Silver Link number 2509 was the first. It set its own record. But then Mallard, which was Gresley's favourite engine, something to do with the fact he kept Mallard ducks in his pond at his house in Hertfordshire. It set this world steam speed record, knocking about two miles an hour off the German world speed record, which I think gladdened many people's hearts back in 1938.
Absolutely. And the first question we actually put to Sir Nigel Gresley, rather his connection from that point of view, was how excited he was with respect to, obviously, the event itself.
It's been Mallard's year last year.
Yes, yes.
Because he's celebrating the 75th anniversary when he broke the world speed record.
Absolutely.
Absolutely brilliant.
Now, I'm looking at present at a photograph from your own collection, the Tim Godfrey collection, of a very young Tim Godfrey with your grandfather Nigel Gresley, and I think you're actually standing on the railings, looking sort of into the future, really, in all sorts of ways there.
Yes.
Great
stuff. I was about three years old then.
Yeah, yeah, and as I just mentioned to Robin, the photograph that he took of you recreating the official launching of the Dominion of Canada, when in fact you actually were on the footplate, of the Dominion of Canada,
yes.
of Canada with, of course, the current Canadian High Commissioner Gordon Campbell.
Yes, indeed. Mm. Well, Robin's magazine, Heritage Railway, which is just one of the better magazines in the railway world.
Indeed.
Also featured my grandfather in 1937 with the High Commissioner of Canada of that day. And so I was asked if I would symbolically reenact the handover of Dominion of Canada to the present High Commissioner of Canada. Mm. And it was a great fun event.
And I've got to say, I do like the blue plaque that was set up for Netherseal Rectory, of course, where Nigel Gresley spent his childhood, where we actually have Sir Nigel Gresley, 1876 to 1941, pioneering railway engineer, designed the Mallard and Flying Scotsman steam locomotives, and, of course, advanced the modernisation of Britain's railway network. Spent his childhood at this rectory, Derbyshire County Council, up from
that
point
of view. His father was the vicar.
Yes.
And it was Derbyshire County Council who did the blue plaque. They do their own blue plaques. And the leader of Derbyshire County Council and I jointly unveiled the plaque. It was a great honour to be invited. Mm.
I'm just looking at you at the photograph of your good self on a family picnic, actually, here, which is very good, where we actually have a family dog as well. Does the dog have a name, or has it sort of faded away into the mists of time?
Is it a Springer or a Labrador?
I think it's a Springer. I think it's a Springer Spaniel, I think the one we're looking at.
Well, if it's a Springer, it was called Pushy Boot.
Nice, yeah. You see, I mean...
if it's a Labrador, it's called Jock.
Ah, well, you see, I mean, either Pushy Boot or Jock would have been ideal names, I think, for another sort of railway design engine, possibly, but, you know...
Well, he named an awful lot of his locomotives after birds.
Indeed, yes, is working
through. I share his interest in birds, and in fact, I also breed wildfowl, ducks and geese.
I mean, again, just looking at the whole experience, clearly apart from the ornithological aspects of the whole thing, it's really aspects like today that really give you a sense of the tremendous heritage and indeed influence that British engineering actually had, certainly in terms of steam and transport globally, not just in Britain.
Indeed, yes, and he died in harness, sadly. Mm. He didn't retire, he died before he retired, and he had so many plans in mind, electrification of trains and so on, which he never actually got to fully develop, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But he was way ahead of his time.
What has been the
train going by now?
That's
so
okay. No, that's fine. It's all great stuff. It gives a sense of actuality of the whole piece, which is wonderful. I don't know if you can just about still hear us from that. What has been the highlight for yourself? I mean, in terms of trains, I mean, obviously we talked about favourites and Mallard, obviously very much at the front of the whole thing, celebrating, as we said, 75 years in terms of the whole piece. Is that your own favourite, or is there another one of the trains that your grandfather actually designed that you think, actually, I feel that's often unloved, and I'd like to speak up for that particular engine?
Which one?
Are there any other favourites that you have, or is the Mallard your own particular favourite as well?
Well, Mallard is a world speed record,
yes,
of course.
Yes,
which it broke in 1938, mm-hmm. And that's why it's been celebrating its 75th anniversary this last year, 2013.
Absolutely.
But the 100th A4 Pacific, which he designed, was named after him, the Sir Nigel Gresley.
Yes.
And that is running, that's in full running order, and that's based at the North Yorkshire Moors Railway. And it runs on that line and also on the open public lines.
And do you have a favourite yourself in terms of, if I was to push you, as the grandson of Sir Nigel, is there a particular area which you think, yeah, actually, I've always liked that particular train?
Well, I suppose Sir Nigel Gresley, which was named after him, was a magnificent locomotive.
Right.
I've been on the footplate several times, and it is as impressive as Mallard is.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're all the finest locomotives.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose
they're built for speed.
If we cast your mind back to being Sir Nigel's grandson, and obviously working that, were you in the ideal position? Because most grandchildren, they might have a train set to play with. You actually had real trains, yeah, potentially to work with.
I also had a train set because on my first birthday, my grandfather gave me a Hornby 00 gauge locomotive Sir Nigel Gresley with carriages and a track,
mm,
and it was clockwork, which
right,
made it most unusual because shortly after that, Hornby joined up with Triang and became, they had electric trains with three rails to begin with.
Right, right, yes, yes.
So that was a treasured possession right the way through until about 18 years ago when our house was hit by lightning.
Mm.
And unfortunately the model was destroyed in the fire.
Right. Tim, there are so many memories. I mean, I think we need to set up a whole series of programmes just to share with yourself, obviously, memories of Sir Nigel Gresley and the whole thing. But thank you very, very much for joining us today. It's been truly wonderful. Oh, there we are.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Thank
you for your courtesy. It's nice to speak to you.
Not at all. I'd absolutely delighted. If you pass the phone back to Robin Jones, that'd be wonderful. So there we are.
If I can find him. Where's he gone?
He's probably off taking photographs somewhere and doing various other things.
Yeah,
things to that
I
point.
Think he probably is.
Yeah, it's what he does.
Anyway, nice to speak to you.
Likewise, all the very best.
Okay.
A true legend there. Of course, just a reminder, you're listening to a Morton's Heritage podcast, and in case you like to sort of access things, you can go on Facebook and access a whole range of details. Plus, of course, there's always this.
Hi, this is Rob Nichols From Flying to the Moon, you're listening to the Mortons Heritage Railway podcast.
Thank you. Okay, there we are. Just battling through that. And of course, see, he hasn't gone off taking photographs because he's actually just at the other end of the telephone. Robin Jones is still there. As we said, though, I think I was so excited. It was not Sir Nigel Gresley. It was Sir Nigel Gresley's grandson, Tim Godfrey, we were speaking to there. Very important person. And, I mean, how did it feel from your own point of view, Robin, to actually have a chance to chat to Tim and obviously be there at the great event yourself?
Well, you know, obviously it's an honour to be, you know, to me, to a direct descendant of probably the greatest locomotive engineer in history.
Hmm. Is that true, Jeff? I mean, I'm not doubting Robin's word here, but I mean, from your point of view, the greatest locomotive engineer in history, Nigel Gresley.
One of them. Well, you it's always an apples and pears, but he was a tremendous designer. And just run through some of his achievements. The use of three cylinders, given that there's a constraint on the size that locomotives can be with the loading gauge, and in particular the LNER had that constraint, and his conjugated valve gear, which meant they only needed to use two sets of Walshaw's valve gear instead of three, was fantastic. And he went with Pacific against a lot of people's perceptions of what was required in the UK. And of course, the Flying Scotsman was the first locomotive credited officially with running at 100 miles an hour. And then we know about Mallard, but he also articulated railway carriages way back, because he had a very long and distinguished career. He started off in carriage works, and he served his apprenticeship with London and Northwestern, if I'm not mistaken. And tremendous achievements. He did actually build an electric locomotive, and he would have electrified railways. The war prevented that from happening, and of course, sadly, he died. But just before he died, he did design an electric locomotive, the 6701 Bobo electric locomotive. He designed in all 11 locomotives for the Great Northern Railway before 1923, and 14 steam engines in one electric locomotive. And had he survived, had things been different, I have no doubt he would have been the achieving engineer, even more than he was. But he was one of the giants, without a shadow of a doubt, and a scientific person as well. I mean, he came from the craft background, but he was very, very keen on science, on plants which assess the performance of steam locomotives and could improve steam flow and valve events and so on to increase efficiency, to use less coal, less water, go faster, and have more power. And it has been said that he took steam to its ultimate, and there is little doubt that in fact he did achieve that, because his A4 Pacifics were not only the fastest, they were amazing machines. They when they spent a fortune and produced diesel locomotives to try and replace them, they weighed almost as much and delivered about 25% less ultimate pulling power and drawbar horsepower. We know they caught up eventually, but he took steam so far ahead they could barely match it with diesels.
Phenomenal. So good news, Robin, in every sense of the word. We've got the fabulous Joanne Graham in the podcast studio as well, for that point of view, the home of the Heritage Mortons Railway podcast that happens to be Siren FM at the University of Lincoln, of course. But Joanne, you've got some exciting news about a special Heritage Railway app.
That's right, yes, thank you. Yeah, Mortons, we've released this fantastic Heritage Railway app, which is free through the App Store, and we have a few fantastic features, including some of our bookazines, and one in particular, which I thought was particularly relevant to today's podcast.
On the case.
Yes, definitely. Which is over 65 years ago, the Railway Magazine published a two-part feature called Sir Nigel Gresley's Locomotive Designs Proposal and Construction from 1923 to 1941. And we've reproduced the pages in the app. It's only 69p, which is fantastic considering you've got some of the original illustrations of the proposals. It's a wonderful little feature.
It's just phenomenal. It's great stuff. And people can get that hold of that app. How?
Through the App Store on their iPhones, iPads, everything like that. The app is free, but the feature is 69p.
I hope you're paying attention, Robin, because I know you're a keen app person. Don't go there. It's a different line entirely. Robin, it's been great touching base with your good self. Coming up, still on the programme, we're going to be speaking to the wonderful Brian Sharp, who's going to have, I think, one of his two views and things with respect to that. What are you doing yourself? I mean, you seem to be constantly on location. Are we ever going to see you in the studio?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'll certainly welcome in the studio. I'd love to have the experience.
There we are, you see. That's it. Robin Sharp will return very shortly. And for now, though, we celebrate this fabulous routine. I also plug for Mallard 75, celebrating Britain's greatest steam movement. All six surviving A4s reunited in York. Of course, you're the editor and author of this wonderful bookazine. And it's available, as we said, from... obviously, the old good bookstores and heritage, and of course, the railway museums and so on. Robin, we'll speak again very soon.
You're listening to the Mortons Heritage Railway podcast.
Yes, okay. So I know. It's obvious it's Robin Jones. Robin Jones, not Robin Sharp, quite rightly. So it's Brian Sharp. That's the important thing. And Brian, you're on location. Well, I was thinking, in many ways, we haven't seen you both together in the same room, you see. I thought it might be just a case of, you know, Robin Sharp, Brian Jones. No, separate scenarios. Brian, welcome back to edition 3 of the Heritage, Mortons Heritage Railway podcast. You were with us, of course, for the launch edition, and you're currently just about to go into Shildon, I gather.
That's right. I'm at the Locomotion Museum, where we've got the lineup of the six A4 Pacifics of the LNER. Just hold on a moment.
It's this excitement that always comes through. It's the liveness that other podcasts might try to actually match this, but they don't get that kind of sense of anticipation, Jeff. You know, that kind of build up on the whole thing. Is he going to be let in? Will they actually, you know, decide to say no? You haven't got the tickets. You're not on the list. Don't go in. Go away.
No. Well, we found a way in. We've got to walk through to the side door.
Right. The old side door entrance.
Walking past the engines now, so we can see them, but it's just we can't actually get across to them.
Well, never mind.
And, they had apparently 17,000 people here on Sunday, and if anything, there's more here today. It's obviously half term, and it's just brought all the locals out to see it.
That must be a challenge. That must be a challenge of children.
Yes, it's not the town that's geared up for these kind of crowds.
Not quite, no.
Brian, we put this question to Robin earlier. From your own perspective, is this very much a case of all your Christmases coming together at once? Is this ultimately, this is it? This is a steam engine enthusiast's dream?
I think it's more of a sort of general public's attitude to steam engines. It's a lineup of six engines, which to the enthusiast is not quite what it's all about. With people all around them, most of us, I think, would rather see engines actually moving and running. And it's really, to me, it's a huge contrast to the 50th anniversary of Mallard's 1938 speed record, when Mallard was actually steamed and ran around the country pulling trains. Now it's static, it's not able to be steamed, and really it's just six engines. The attraction, of course, is the fact that two of the A4s have been brought back from North America especially for this, which was a huge logistical exercise. And this is the last time to see them before they go back to North America.
Yeah. Mm. Exactly. So it's hardly likely to be replicated in the near future.
Dwight D. Eisenhower's on the platform today, if things are going to schedule. Have you cabbed it before?
Yes, I'm sure I have, yes. and in fact, I remember seeing all the A4 Pacifics by 1963 when I was 9.
Really?
But it's nice to see them again for the first time in 40 years.
If anybody else had said that, Brian, they might think they were being boastful, but no, you could just say that, you know, 9-year-olds like Mozart, you know, have worked through that. Yeah. Cabbed it. I must add that to my list of, I wasn't aware of that little term in my glossary, but very good.
Well, we're about to go in the doorway now.
Okay. Whilst you're doing that, Jeff, have you got another little fascinating fact that you'd like to share with us about any of the engine, any of the six sort of engines that are actually there? I know you've got a range of the things.
Well, it is a shame that that steam engines are becoming static exhibits, but we're very, very lucky in that, of course, three of the A4s are still in steam. And, you know, Nigel Gresley Bittern and Unionist South Africa are still earning their keep.
Which I suppose is a tribute to the engineering that went into them in the first place and the longevity of the whole factor that was around within that. As we said, we were lucky to speak to the grandson of Sir Nigel Gresley, Tim Godfrey, earlier in the programme today. But there's even more excitement because we mentioned this earlier. It's time we mentioned it again. This killer application that's around for a mere 69 pence, Stuart. How can people actually get hold of this one if they haven't sort of already taken this down or played the podcast back from the start?
Yeah, well, basically, it's really easy to get a hold of. You just go to the App Store through iTunes and you search for Heritage Railway, and it's just there, it's free. And then from there, you have access to our regular Heritage Railway editions, plus a couple of our bookazines, including the Settle and Kalar Revival by Brian
Sharp.
Which, of course, was the
where we launched, really.
I feel,
Brian, that the Settle and Carlisle Revival line will always have a special place in our memories just because it launched the whole thing. It's wonderful, really.
And then there's other things as well, like the Sir Nigel Gresley...
Heaps of goodies, exactly. Yeah. Yes, and the Mallard 75 and all the sort of wonderful things that's actually around there. Have you got in then as yet, Brian?
Oh, we haven't got in.
That's all right.
We're now inside the museum, surrounded by engines and people.
Fantastic. And the general atmosphere, would you say that, you know, the there's a lot of energy there? We always get a sense of the atmosphere of a particular place. And when...
Well, that's right, yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people probably never been here before. It's set up here as a sort of overflow from the National Railway Museum at York. It's a great big sort of barn full of engines and coaches that wouldn't otherwise be on display. And it's in a fairly remote area, really, well to the north of York. And it's also on the route of the old Stockton and Darlington Railway, which ran right past here, and which was the very first public railway in the world. There's a bridge that you can see from the rear window of the museum, and the bridge goes over what was the big Shield and Marshalling Yards that it developed into, but at first it was a tiny little bridge, half the size of your average railway bridge, just about big enough for a horse and cart to go under it, and that is the original Stockton and Darlington Railway Bridge. But I would imagine not a lot of people realise the historical significance of what they're looking at if they look out the rear window of this building.
Which is great. Jeff, have you ever been there to Shildon and the railway area that side? I say, have you ever? It's kind of, I presume you have.
Yes.
Several times. Yeah, exactly. It's a way forward. Any other questions you want to put, Jeff, at this stage as we begin to come to the end of, good heavens, the third podcast, which has been, you could almost run this as a two-part with part two and part three, really. So anyway, any questions for yourself?
I just wonder what you think of the building new locomotives, obviously Tornado 60163, and there's a proposal to build more. Do you think that's a good idea?
It does fill gaps in the collection of steam engines that exist. My personal feeling is that for a fraction of the cost, there's a lot of historic engines, particularly in the National Railway Museum's collection, which for the sake of a few boiler tubes and some new bearings, could be put back in steam. Yes, they're a bit smaller than Tornado, for example. And Tornado, and this is an interesting point, is being followed by Cock of the North, which is, or in fact they're going to call it Prince of Wales, but the P2 class, which was bigger than the Pacific's. It was a 282 built for the heavy taxing route to Aberdeen in Scotland. But they're going to build one of those next, and the mainframes are actually going to be starting to be cut at Darlington this Friday by James May, who people might recall was in the Race to the North Top Gear.
He's a Top Gear bloke. He's doing stuff there, and he's doing wonderful stuff in his own way, so why not?
The P2 was the largest passenger steam locomotive ever built in the UK.
That's right, yes.
See, that is why, Jeff, you become an essential part of the whole podcast programme, because, you know, you just drop that in there. It's just fantastic. It's genius.
Well, Gresley also designed the largest steam locomotive in the UK, which was, of course, the U1 28082 Garrett. There you go.
It's like a wonderful railway almanac of top information. Brian, I feel the excitement of where you're going to get in the door. You have got in the door. You've got in the side door. You're there together with, obviously, earlier contact with Robin Jones and the reprise of the interview with Tim Godfrey, of course, grandson of Sir Nigel Gresley, and heaps of other goodies. Plus, of course, the fabulous Heritage Railway app that's actually there, and the debut on the podcast of Joanna Graham, always exciting, has brought us through to almost unparalleled levels of scenario. So shall we look ahead to podcast 4 and seek to do it all again then?
Yes, I think we'll have to think about another topic, because the A4s are now just about old hat, and something's got to come along to replace it in the programme of events and the railway business.
There'll be all sorts of things there.
To stop.
But I do know people will be saying, yes, this is all very good, but how do we find out more? How do we actually get hold of the physicality of the magazine, the bookazine, etc.? Heritagerailway.co.uk is the go-to website. You can like the Facebook package as well from that point of view. All heaps of other goodies, etc. And available, of course, in... Well, where are they available, Brian? Tell us, where can the listener actually get hold of their editions from Heritage Railway, the complete Steam News magazine, and more?
Well, Heritage Railway is on sale at virtually all newsagents, particularly the larger chains, and is increasingly on sale in the big supermarkets. The bookazines are effectively produced for WH Smiths. So that's the first port of call, but they are available from Morton's, either by phone or online.
There you go. There we are. That's all we need. Fantastic stuff there. Brian, enjoy the rest of the trip from that point of view. If you are listening to this before, when does the exhibition come to an actual end? Because if people are listening to this, and as you say, you know, it's still sort of part of, when. So it is. So if it's after the 23rd of February, in the year of our Lord 2014, sorry, it's gone. But if it's before, you can still get to Shildon and actually catch up with the exhibition there and all sorts of other factors. Gentlemen and ladies, of course, many thanks indeed. Enjoy the rest of the bits and pieces that you actually see there. Sorry, that's a non-trained person's line there. That won't get me cabbing at all. Enjoy the events, and we'll catch up with the Heritage Railway podcast edition 4 very soon.
If you like trains, if you like vintage trains, then this is the podcast for you.